It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last year, the popular retailer Target fell victim to a high-profile hacking. As we head into the holiday shopping season, could this happen again? And what is its impact on the economy? Here to address these questions and more is Robert Morris University economics professor Brian O'Rourke. Brian O'Rourke, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
As we just mentioned in the introduction, the retailer Target garnered unwanted headlines last year as a result of being hacked. Because of online sales and fewer people using cash, does this place retailers at a greater risk of being hacked?
Well, the easy answer to that is absolutely yes. Anytime you have more people using something on the internet, it makes it more attractive for hackers. Whether it is any kind of a merchandise site, whether it's iTunes, anything that people use more of, it attracts criminals. And the market for the stuff that criminals can take from you in terms of information is growing. It's not just credit card information that hackers want. It's just not just that number. It's any kind of personal information. It is names of your children, addresses, former addresses. Those kinds of things can be used to create profiles by hackers to set up new accounts that they can just easily pick things from, whether it's another kind of a credit card, whether it's accessing your friend's information, because maybe you're not that big of a fish, but maybe your friend is, and then they can use this to do something we call social engineering. So to just make somebody on the other end of a computer line think that they are somebody else. I've got friends who've had false tax returns filed for them because their information was stolen. Of course, anytime we start to put healthcare records online, those things become very valuable assets to hackers. One of the big hacks recently was the Governmental Services Agency. And if you have applied at all for a government job, your information has probably been compromised. And that can be really useful information to people who want to either blackmail you or find something else about you.
So how do these high-profile hackings impact business?
Well, businesses really don't want to be hacked, although sometimes you wonder about their practices. Sometimes businesses just don't use the best techniques. If you will, Wyndham Hotels, for example, they got hit a couple years ago, and they promised to protect people's information, and they did a terrible job. They were using passwords like 1234, and just their firewalls were set up very, very poorly. If you sort of aggregate all this business hacking, though, we're talking about a lot of money. We're talking about, the estimates are all over the place for the whole, for the aggregated.
A lot of money, millions of dollars?
No, way in the billions. So
billions of dollars.
The hacking estimates are anywhere from $100 billion to $1 trillion of losses a year. The $1 trillion number is one that's bandied about a lot. That's probably way too high. It's probably closer to $200 or $300 billion a year. But when you look at just the general online marketplace, as far as sales are concerned, the sales online are growing by leaps and bounds over the last 2 years or so. The percentage increase in online sales has gone up almost 15%. So we're getting into the trillions of dollars of spending online. So the fact that there's this loss of revenue, that there's this this theft that's going on there, it's the big fish concept. When there's the big fish there, it attracts the thieves. For businesses, though, the big question isn't so much how much are they being ripped off, but whether or not people are going to continue to access online shopping if the threat persists. That's my wife's grandmother is scared to death of doing anything online because she's sure her information will be stolen. And I know there are a lot of other people out there like my wife's grandmother who just refuse to be online because of the fear of losing that information.
In the wake of last year's security breach, what are businesses doing to combat potential hackings in order to protect data and boost consumer confidence?
Well, there's a number of things going on now. There was a recent piece of legislation that I believe has gone through both the House and the Senate. They're reconciling it now, called the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act. This is an effort by government and businesses to share information when a hack occurs so that you can kind of tell about the patterns. You can try to prevent it from happening in other places. And that's a really great idea. For consumers, one of the things you've probably noticed is you've gotten a new credit card with a little chip on it, this chip and PIN system. They've been using this in Europe for 8 or 10 years or so. And the idea with the chip and PIN card is that it's supposed to be harder to fabricate. With your old strips on the back of the credit card, that information was really easy for hackers to pull right off. And they didn't really even need to be in the same location as the card. With the chip and PIN system, that chip is supposed to generate a new number every time it's being used so that it can't be stolen. The information on the card can't be stolen quite as easily. So that's something, although I've already heard of a way, the hackers coming in with a new way of getting around that that safety system. One of the things that businesses do when you've been hacked is that they offer you free credit monitoring, and that can put consumers' mind at ease a little bit. But all the credit monitoring tells you is that you've been hacked or you've been attacked. So it's not like it's preventing anything. It's just letting you know probably sooner than you would have found out otherwise. But really, businesses have to understand, and we as consumers have to understand, that you're only as good, you're only as safe as your system is, as your information security system is. And it's really, really hard to be on defense in this space. Hackers are really smart. They come up with new ideas all the time. I sort of, when I teach an information security class, and when we talk about this, in terms of people using performance-enhancing drugs in sports. So it's usually the people using the drugs that are ahead of the testers, and hackers are always ahead of the defenders. Mm. And so, that's something you have to live with. President Obama, a couple of years ago now, has sort of put out a call to try to get more people involved in information security types of jobs. It's a significant problem, a significant shortage in that particular labor space.
So a growing field, potentially.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. If you can figure out how this stuff works, you've got a job for life.
Can anything be done to stop this?
Oh, yeah. We can stop this. The question is whether we as the public want to stop it. People continue to shop more and more online, and those numbers I don't think they're going to shrink. But for us to really put a crimp in the hacker style, we have to do things that are somewhat costly to us as individuals. And I don't mean monetarily, but as we were talking a little bit earlier, if I want to stop a hacker, I need to put a password in place. And I can't have the same password for every single account that I own, because if a hacker finds out how to get into one of my accounts, then they can get into a whole bunch if I use the same password all the time. So I have to come up with new passwords, but that's hard to remember. And so I write them down, and that's not always the safest thing to do. There are some softwares, packages out there that will generate new passwords for you without you having to worry about it. And when a password is asked for, it automatically generates the password for
you. It'll suggest one?
It'll make up one at random.
That presumably couldn't be, run through an algorithm that would, ascertain your interest. Because I have to think that the hackers have sophisticated enough software that they can figure out a way to get your password.
You're right about that. The software that's out there does a random number generator type of thing, although those can be infiltrated as well, so they're not 100% effective. For firms, the problem the firms run into is this is a cost for them in terms of their business model. If they're going to have safe systems and safe networks for us as consumers to use, it can be pretty expensive, and it's hard to justify the expense when nothing is happening. So if there's an attack that you prevent, it's hard to let the accountants know about that.
So it's when you don't prevent it that all of a sudden the justification for it comes into play.
It's too late at that point. You're exactly right.
What are consumers responsible for if their data is stolen?
Okay, this is good news for consumers, at least. Consumers are really not responsible for very much. Due to the Fair Credit Billing Act, the maximum that most consumers are liable for if their card information is stolen is about $50. And most credit card companies don't even make you pay that. It's more of a hassle for the card company to deal with that $50 than to just take the loss, write it off at the end of the year. The real problem, though, for consumers isn't the monetary loss. It's cleaning up the mess after the fact. If somebody steals your identification and starts spending money and opens new accounts,
you're going to go through hell.
That's exactly right. And there's no way around that, really. That's the downside. Even with credit monitoring, you're in for a long slog.
That mattress is looking pretty good for a place to store all your money. You know,
yeah.
So all hacking aside, a number of retailers are taking on additional help during this holiday season. So is this a good indicator of how the economy is doing, or is this just, you know, what they always do at this time of year?
Well, it's a little bit of both. It is something that they do all the time, and around this time of year, there's more hiring. At the traditional brick-and-mortar stores, we're not seeing much more hiring than usual. In fact, last year was down a little bit, and this year is going to schedule to be on par with last year as far as brick-and-mortar hiring. But a company like Amazon is hiring a ton. So they're hiring people on the computer end. They're hiring people on the distribution end. So in that sense, some of the employment is just shifting around. It's shifting from, you know, your Macy's and your Toys R Us to Amazon and other online retailers. Retail numbers came out. Projections for the retail stores came out last week, and they were awful. I don't know if you saw the way some of those retail company stock prices just tanked because the projections were really, really bad. But Amazon and these other giant online retailers are looking forward to the Christmas season. This Cyber Monday, I think, is keeps them in business and looks like it's going to be pretty good. If you want to talk about labor markets, though, I think, again, these companies would be really well served to hire some information security specialists.
Well, Lord knows we need to fill jobs, so that's one way of doing it. Brian O'Rourke is a professor of economics at Robert Morris University. He joins us to address economic issues from time to time. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.